Greetings to everybody, and welcome into another episode of the Kaneho Podcast. It's your host, Jay Lieberman, and my co-host, lovely, gorgeous wife and business partner, Michelle, is not joining us today. She's out driving around with clients. God bless her, so that we can have the funds to do things like this. So today we have on the phone, we have Gerald Olesker. And Gerald, if you've seen the lighting and ornament work, well, let me start here. Gerald is the owner of ADG Lighting out here in Agoura Hills. And if you've ever seen any of their work all over the place, it's been in magazines, you may have probably seen it live, it's been all over the place. They've designed and manufactured in over, I think as you stated, Gerald, before, over $3 billion in real estate venues, restaurants, commissions like Spago, the Four Seasons Hotel, Manhattan Country Club, the SLS, exclusive, and a bunch of exclusive estates around the world. Also, I think he did some work at the MGM Grand in Vegas and the Bellagio. And so without further ado, I'd like to say good morning to Gerald. How are you?
I'm well, Jay. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. And, you know, we've talked a lot and had some nice conversations and such. And, you know, I come from this industry of interior design and architecture and aerospace engineering. My whole family are artists and incredibly bright people that look at life and look at spaces from an entirely different viewpoint. And I got zero of that. And am a stick figure at maximum kind of guy. Can't even decide, you know, what color to paint a wall if I'm given more than two choices. So I envy people like you and the incredible work that you guys do, which, again, you could see in all kinds of magazines and books and all kinds of programs around the world. It's amazing stuff. And there's one comment, Gerald, before I let you go and kind of talk about how you got here that I really loved that you showed me. I think it's made in your website or in one of your emails, and that is that light is everything. And I love the simplicity of that. And so before we get started kind of on your background and where you got started, can you explain really what light is everything means to start off?
I can. I can go biblical and say out of darkness there was light, right?
Right, Genesis 101.
Exactly. So one of the first things there. Every building, every space that we interact, there's beautiful sunlight that filters in from windows, clear story windows, or a crack in the wall. And the shade and the shadow that light provides gives us the ability to see that space. Now, once evening falls, unless it's a full moonlit night, we are at a disadvantage because it's dark and we seem to interact when something is lit. Now, you only need one little candle to light that space to read. You don't need to outlight your neighbor. The romance of light, just like a flame, that candle, you can change the setting of a table and your dinner becomes romantic. You can read a book. Well, decorative lighting, just by nature, is, quote, decorative. We like to engage with architecture and say, hey, it's functional detail. So let's not call it decorative lighting, but let's call it functional detail. It's a part of the architecture that works well, that enhances the architecture, looks good, causes you to interact with it. So during the day, it's ornament. It's detail that adds one more layer to a building. And at night, that layer becomes functional and can throw shade and shadow and pattern. And that's how we live as creatures. In an interesting, wonderful, sunlit day like today in Southern California, there's highs, there's lows, you know, it's 65 degrees, and I'm going to go to the beach after this podcast and work down there and sketch some beautiful details for a client. And in the evening, I'll flip on a switch and I can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. What do you see as the difference between natural sunlight and interior light?
Well, you know, back in the 80s, when everyone was doing the 80s spec houses, there was some really bad lighting, and ceilings got Swiss cheesed, and everyone was putting in can lights, and that was a builder special, and excuse me, but every realtor in town would say, look at this wonderful amount of light that's in the space. Right. And the mistake of having illumination that just comes from the top down is like just a bad, gloomy, I'll call it English day, where there is no high and low. It's just flat. That's not the way to illuminate a space. That's not the way we naturally live. Sunlight provides all this great shade and shadow. You can have an intense sunny day and walk under the shadow of a tree or the shadow of a building, and the temperature changes dramatically, yet you still can see. You can still read a book. You can still, you know, look at the color of someone's face, at the color of their clothing. You step out of that shade and shadow. You get that beautiful, warm feeling, and we all just smile. Ah, it's warm. Now you can go back into the shade, and again, ah, it's cool. That's the power of light. Mm-hmm. We do the same thing with decorative lighting, functional detail, and enhance the spaces in architecture by causing those mood changes.
Interesting. Yeah, it is. I mean, I could be, and we'll get a little more into this, but I mean, I walk into a space and I actually have to change my offices, for instance, to different light during different times. If I'm in a certain mood, sometimes right. I want it half dim. Sometimes I want it higher. Sometimes I open the blinds and bring in the sunlight and open up the window. It's a whole different thing. It is an amazing thing how it not only affects you on your personal emotional side, but actually affects my productivity at work.
100%, and we can talk about your commercial properties and mm-hmm. and terrible Title 24. Yes, I'll publicly say that. That talks about the energy codes, but the problem is then we talk about daylighting. And daylighting, they want to keep the light levels consistent within a space. So if it's real sunny, the lights will dim in a room just to keep an even level. Well, we don't function like that as human. We're carbon objects. So it's okay. The more light that comes into a space, that space is filled with this wonderful, wonderful power that can cause you to be more productive. When it's even and flat, you lose that level of productivity during the day. Mm-hmm. So our biological clocks in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, that ebb and tide really changes how we deal with clients, how we deal with friends, how we deal with family, and how you interact and feel in a space. So I actually don't like these new codes. It's okay. We could save energy, but I don't think we need to have a flat environment.
Got it. Yeah, no, I agree. Let's take a step back in time for a minute and get into your past, you know, how you got here. Can you give us kind of the nickel tour in a few minutes of how you became Gerald, how ADG lighting came into play, and why that happened, and kind of your trek through life so far?
Absolutely. Well, came into the world thankful to my mother and father.
Likewise.
Yeah, and I had thought I would be an architect, and I went to Cal Poly. Woohoo! Shout out for Cal Poly. I'm not a staunch Cal Poly guy, but hey, you know what? It gave me an incredible foundation for what I do today. So as this young architect, I had a good opportunity to work for a variety of trades and a variety of professional firms. So I worked for engineering firms, working on the USC Teaching Hospital. I worked framing houses. I worked for the city planning department in San Dimas area. I then was interning for a firm called Galper Baldwin. And as graduation was coming up, I had the good fortune when I worked for Sid and for Clio to ask a lot of questions. And Clio was an interior designer. Sid was actually a horticulturalist, and they had a landscape firm that did architecture and landscape and product design as well. And as this kind of young 22-year-old who wanted to take on the world and thought I was so great, I said to Clio, who always yelled at everyone in the office, I said, Clio, you're just an interior designer. what gives you the ability to work in landscapes and create these buildings and everything else? And she took my hand, and quietly, she did not yell at me.
The ball's said, on oh, you, right?
Oh my, yes, I've always had a lot of chutzpah. Uh-huh. So I said that to her, and she says, "Oh, honey, space is space. You can design a space outdoor and define it by a hedge, define it by a post, define it by a light, define it by a bench. Same thing inside." And I took that with me. And Sid, who was the senior principal of the firm, I said to Sid, "You know, I don't want to draw for $8 an hour at the table." I was very appreciative of learning from every single staff person in that office. I said, I don't want to draw for $8 an hour. I want to learn this business. Don't pay me. Teach me the business. And if I am able to rope in a job, give me 10%. Well, they were working with the millionaires and billionaires of the time in the early 90s. And I was able to learn this business and see what the people of Beverly Hills, Bel Air, Malibu, out to New York, wherever, where and what their needs were in business, the business of architecture. And that gave me a great start.
Interesting. Well, that's an interesting kind of comment that she had. You kind of, I'm sure you were kind of floored a little bit. I mean, you come in kind of balls blazing with a comment, and she just pretty much laid it out for you like a philosophical statement more than anything else, you know?
And it put me in my place. Yeah, but I've taken that with me over the years. And whether it was with my first company that does a family business that was in lighting or other design endeavors that I've done over the years, I've taken that with me. Even when we created our publishing company, those are some of the stories that I really give an appreciation then for what a good designer, a good architect, or a good tradesperson is able to accomplish. Now, the turn of the century, as we'll say, early 2000s, I had created ADG, or Architectural Detail Group, thinking I was going to go back into architecture. I was doing lighting for a lot of years because it was an easy way for me to meet more designers and architects. And it was a way for me to craft my skill, say, hey, let me do a small portion of your building. Well, by the time I was 34, I had already done 700 projects worldwide.
Oh, wow. Good Lord.
Yes, and I was burnt out and tired, so I thought I would redevelop myself, left our family business as the president of the company, and went out and said, I'll start maybe a design firm and go back into my roots. And quickly, I was shooed back into designing product, and then the economy crashed. And my wife was smart enough to make some business decisions that helped us through that economic time. We kept our factory doors open, but we were able to deal still with a great client base. Through that, we then got into energy efficiency lighting because that was a good mainstay. And then we slowly got back into decorative lighting. And in the last several years, we were able to essentially redevelop from all of our years of experience how we engage with our clients, what we do for our clients, and this has got us into lighting, furniture, furnishings, ornamentation, ironwork, and other things that we could do, and we had a wonderful 2016.
Wow, that's fantastic. Good for you. And, you know, this kind of, it's a nice little segue into my next question, which is kind of like, just the real nuts and bolts of the business itself. You know, for instance, let's assume, you know, I'm Jay and I'm opening up a little boutique hotel in Westlake Village or maybe in the West Side. And, you know, it's going to be a 40-room boutique hotel in, let's say, Beverly Hills. And I have an architect on board who's, you know, design, you know, put it together. Maybe there's a designer, maybe there's not an interior designer at this point, but either the consultant or the client comes to you and said, hey, I need your help. Where do you guys kind of go from there? I mean, it's kind of like, here's my set of plans. Help me out. How does that process go, kind of start to finish?
It's actually a great case study. The first boutique hotel I ever did was the Ambrose Hotel in Santa Monica. The owner became a very good friend after we had worked on the project for a year, mm-hmm. and then it became a LEED EB Silver project because of the way we designed and then the way she owned and operated the hotel. Taking those experiences with me then to today, we're working on a hotel up in San Luis Obispo. And the interior designer brought me in and sat me down with the owners. And we look at the project and say, first of all, our goal always is happy client. And that's our flow chart. We have a very specific flow chart. It says, you give me something and ask me to bid it, fine, I'll give you a number. You engage with us and ask us to be part of the process, essentially retain us for the design services, and we will work with you as part of your team. And we will get you down to the bottom of that flow chart, which actually says happy client. There's three things that make a happy client: budget, time, and design. Or it could be design and budget and time, or time and budget and design. I mean, there's only three factors. Now, our skill set gives us the ability to sit with that client and say, okay, we know you have a budget, so let's all talk about that. Doesn't have to be a dirty word. The design is very straightforward. It's going to be indicative of how much you want to spend. Now, you can buy any product anywhere, but when you are designing and developing a boutique hotel, part of that experience is, and what I'll say, the romance of that one little candle flame. Right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to create something that provides a good warm heart feeling, unique experience for that person who will be there 1, 2, 3, 4 nights when they engage in that space. Or they're coming in for a party and they want, you know, a nice dinner. There's something going on within that space. So the lighting is so significant. Many, many people don't understand that. And they say, well, I could just go buy something. And you can, but that doesn't create the uniqueness to the space. So once we have an understanding of where the client is in budget, we can begin to develop products and designs that are indicative of the theme of the hotel, mm-hmm. the needs of the owner, also working with the designer, this one specific designer up in San Luis Obispo. He came from product design, so he truly understands the nature and how we work. And we've done some things really unique to giving them what they need and what they want while balancing budget, balancing personalities, and balancing design.
And do you actually get it manufactured for them also?
Yeah, so our firm is a one-stop shop. We design and we manufacture. We manufacture here in sunny Southern California.
Huh. And you actually, do you farm out the manufacturer, or you actually manufacture it yourself?
No, we actually manufacture. Glad to take you on a tour. We can drive straight up Topanga one day, and we can end up at the other end of the valley, and I will give you the most unimpressive tour you've had.
I'm imagining I'm probably going to want to see welding and sparks flying. So
There are some days, and other days there's a lot of assembly going on. Today we're creating something up that's going to a loft in New York, and it's a, you know, $25,000 one-off chandelier.
Oh wow, beautiful. Nice. I've seen some
and
of the stuff
modern
on your website. I mean, I've seen it all. I still look at like interior design magazines sometimes when I'm like popping around my father and my brother's and mother's design firm. They all three work
right
together. And so I see some of this stuff all over the place. I see renderings. I see all that stuff. And the first thing I always gravitate towards is the massive fixture in the middle of the room, you know?
Right, right.
It's either like the thing is just blowing me away, or it just causes me no focus. So when I see some of this stuff that you, like I told you at the outset, you know, I'm not a designer kind of guy, so it's hard for me. But I think I know what looks good, what feels good to me. So when I see something and I go in, you know, and I think my brother, as a sidestep, does some designing of light fixtures, but I think more in concept for someone to manufacture periodically. But I think that they do involve somebody like you most of the time when it comes to doing that. So I remember, I don't know why, but I remember this space in, it was either in Seattle or San Francisco. I think it was San Francisco, a restaurant called The Grand Cafe. Mm-hmm. And it was a huge facility. And I remember these massive chandeliers that either my brother or somebody like you designed, and it was like I mean, I always think about it. It just completely blew me away. And then you go into another restaurant where there's just like some lighting and some stuff, and it's nice lighting. But it's like right. the lighting and what you manufacture, what you guys design, based on budget and all that and expectations. But the gorgeous fixtures that I've seen from you guys, from ADG that I've seen online, are things that are like, you know, kind of knock your socks off into a space. To me, it makes all the difference. You know?
Well, one of the things that we have learned in today's 21st century environment, the way younger designers engage and the younger designers who work for the older designers, and that is really the information that's out there. We all see photos. We're flooded with photos and we're flooded with information. But flooded with good photos and good information is a whole nother story. And I learned from a general who gave a lecture called Plywood one time, because they have to build a plywood room, and they load that room with 22-year-olds in front of computers who then are gathering the intel from all of the field operatives. And that general, who's in his 60s typically, 50s, 60s, has to then make a decision based on all of the intel that those 22-year-olds are giving him. Well, we looked at that and said, we're going to develop a website that actually emulates that information. And then I also took a line from The Grateful Dead and Jerry Garcia, which says, use my information. And when you use my information, you can record our concert, you can videotape our concert, you can photo our concert, you can do whatever you want, you can share our music all over, but what we do ask is that you buy the ticket to our concert. Mm-hmm. So I took this great general and I took Jerry Garcia and I sat with my social media team and our web development team. I said, let's mush all of this together so we can share and provide great content, because we work with some of the greatest architects and designers, hoteliers, homeowners, professionals in the world. And we've been lucky enough to do that. It also comes from our skill set here at ADG, but it was a matter of our skill set. So as we began to build and develop the website with those photos, we also, in today's environment with social media, said, okay, let's take our Instagram page, and that's ADG_lights. How's that for a plug, right? ADG_lights. And on Instagram, you can, with moment-to-moment updates, you can get and look and see what we call, you know, that hashtag ADG job sites, hashtag from the factory floor, or ADG lighting with finished products, and or beauty shots of finished homes, estates, and homes and hotels. So we take that information, and what we want to do is share that in a format so that people can repeat that. But what we want to do is we want to let them understand that you don't have to just say, oh, I love this fixture, let me throw it into another project, but let's use that as a starting point and then take and develop something that thematically works, but we're inspired from our previous works.
Wow, interesting. So you're using, you know, Instagram. I'm going to plug all this for you at the end anyway. No shame. But you're using, you know, Facebook and, you know, Pinterest and Instagram and things like that to document the entire process to a certain degree, or pieces of the process to share along the road, which I think is incredibly important, especially in this day and age. You're exactly right. People are not necessarily, you know, the pictures and the videos, they're all fantastic. It's showing the process of getting to it from step A to step Z, which is why I ask you questions on how did Gerald come to be. Right. People are interested in the story of the fixture, and I think it's amazing that you're telling that story. That's great.
Thank you. Really picked up. And it's kind of the dirty, nitty gritty behind the scenes, mm-hmm. to me, that is far more interesting than the beauty shot in the end. You know, we'll give a thank you and a shout out to the Orange County Register for featuring a home that we finished with great architect Richard Krantz and then Raj Ruhani, who was the builder. And this home just sold for a record $21 million in Crystal Cove. One of the things that made that project successful, though, is this kind of play between the architect and the designer, the contractor, and the developer. Now, I had worked and done the developer's home many years ago. The contractor said, I'm not going to put you in front of him. I'm going to work solely based on budget because we know it's all about budget. So we're going to have to drive this project on budget. The architect asked me to do a series of renderings for the project. And then, again, keeping me out of the loop, which was great because sometimes I like that, the developer said, well, pick one of the, to the architect, pick one of the ideas that has been presented. And the architect said, no, I'm going to let Gerald pick the idea because I trust what they do. They make our homes look good. Mm-hmm. And this went back and forth. Finally, I said to the architect, look, just pick letter B. It works, you know. And so then we participated in this process. A group of us down in Orange County called OC Estate Partners are 15 elite subs. And OC Estate Partners, we all kind of have the same mindset. Well, there's a series of us that happened to work on this house. So Neolithic stone, they did all the carved stone fireplaces and these beautiful reclaimed stone pieces from Europe and the Middle East, and these wonderful pieces then were incorporated in this home. Richard Marshall fine flooring. You know, there's a lot of us that engage with the same mindset, and that then makes these homes so beautiful and so wonderful that it gives us the opportunity then to boast and brag when something is, you know, the most expensive home in that neighborhood. And $21 million today, you know, it's kind of average for some of these houses, which is another story and another discussion. But it broke the record.
Yeah.
That's what we're proud of. And yeah, that gives us the third-party credibility.
No, that's amazing. And, you know, it's also kind of going back to why the you know, can you point directly to the lighting? Can you point directly to the fixtures and furnishings and ornaments and all the stuff that you do as part of that sale and the activity that sale gets? And you know, running a real estate team and watching, you know, our homes get sold for our clients and things like that, we have an approach. And you know, I'm actually going to send you out a couple copies of our book that we have that talk about our approach and how we sell stuff. And it's exactly what you're talking about. It's preparing the home in a whole different manner of really getting inside the eyes and the emotion of the buyers. And that ornament, that fixture, I'm telling you, one elephant on a mantle in the last townhome we sold last week sold the house. And I'm telling you, and so if you have an ornamental light fixture or an incredible piece that you put in that strikes an eye into some buyer's mind, you're getting them that extra $1 million. No matter if it's, you could actually feel, touch it, and it's actually an ROI, you don't know, but that's why, I'm telling
well,
you.
Well, I'm so glad that as a professional in the real estate market, you do understand that, because we work with a lot of developers who don't. And they come down and they say, well, they'll just replace the lights. They'll just take them out. No, they don't.
No, no,
when no. We do it right. And because it's part of the architecture, what we've seen in our case studies, and there's a series of those on our website under the real estate section, and it shows homes from $5 million, you know, up in Lake Oswego, Oregon, to $12 million in the Newport Coast, to $90 million in Bel Air, to you know, homes on the East Coast in New York and Florida. And what we've done is we've taken this swath as a case study to say, look, these are the types of homes we work on. And the value of those homes are truly intrinsic in value, because no one needs a $50 million home. Mm-hmm. However, when they have a good understanding of all the components and elements, you work with a great architect like Bob White, you work with someone that has an understanding of the layers, we really have a great time then working with them. And we don't have to validate what we do, but we do have to have people like yourself and, you know, Caneo Valley Advice Givers say, these are the things we recognize, that these are the things that do make the difference in the industry, because that's what makes the industry stronger.
Not only is it what you're saying stronger, it's the basis for our entire business. I mean, we essentially wrote a book on, called The Value Driven Approach to Sell Real Estate, and it is entirely based on exactly what you do, of going from a comparable sales approach in pricing a house to a value-driven approach, which is preparing the home in a certain manner specifically, or we don't take the listing. And that includes not just tossing up a new ceiling fan light fixture in the bathroom and hope and pray that it gives out the right light.
Right.
This involves creating a space. The designer comes in, the stagers come in, we move lighting, we bring lighting in, we change it. Sometimes we turn it off. So it's amazing. It really is. It's the bread and butter of our business model, exactly what you're doing.
Well, I'd love to be able to share that book with our clients and the developers that we're working with. There's an interior designer. Her name's Tiffany Harris, and Tiffany and I are very good friends and have a really enjoyable time working on projects. And one of the things that we found that she recognizes, which is exactly what you said, but she's coming from the designer's perspective. And we just did a pilot for a TV show called Eavesdropping, and she was talking about the very thing. And there's not enough people that are validating what you just said, what Tiffany has said, what we just proved with, working on this home in Crystal Cove, is that these elements are so important. And I think as design professionals, as real estate professionals, we all have the responsibility to elevate the standards and values. And everyone deserves something beautiful. A $500,000 home, out here in the Conejo Valley to, a $500,000 home in the Midwest are very different. But each one of those really deserve great and beautiful elements. And that is key to changing the standards of this industry.
Yeah, and it's changing. And by you documenting the manufacturers of the lights, by you bringing the importance of what it really is, it is changing. I mean, we're essentially eye in eye on how this business in space, not just residential, it's commercial applications. It's the same thing, just a different emotion to it. But it's not. I'm not just saying it's the wave of the future. I think it's been in human beings in their DNA. It's just now part of a business operation now.
Well, I appreciate that you recognize that. And I'm going to share your book. We're going to put it up on our blog, tell everyone about it. We've got about 4,000 people that are in our weekly newsletter. Mm-hmm. We've got, 5,000 followers on Instagram. And this is our way then of sharing back and saying it's not really about ADG. It's about us collectively collaborating with everyone who's involved in the industry and saying, hey, here's someone else. And they share this opinion. By the way, we don't have to agree with your opinion, but what we do have to know is your opinion is part of the process. Mm-hmm. And those help to elevate what architecture should look like, what the built environment should be, because at the end of the day, we don't want to live in just a concrete box.
That's right. And the new wave of, quote, millennials is taking that to a whole new level as well.
Yes, so it is.
Wow, that's real interesting. We're like eye to eye in different departments. Maybe I should be an ADG Lighting Holding Company. I'm just joking.
Funny thing is, we had one of our clients last year ask to invest in us. And that was one of the most amazing feelings. This is the second time that's actually happened. And at the end of the day, we said, thank you. We understand our operation. And while we could maybe come to a conclusion that it would be good for them, it wasn't good for us, because we have the ability to grow and engage at a level that we don't need that investor, which is always a good feeling. But I do appreciate your comment as well. So now it's three people.
Put me on the list. All right, Gerald, it's been a great talk. We're running out of time, unfortunately, but I want to tell me if I'm getting any of this wrong, but I wanted to kind of give you, lay out all your contact information where people can follow you, contact you, kind of just keep checking you out if you don't mind.
So I'm very Googleable.
Sounds like you're on Facebook at ADG Lighting, correct?
Correct.
Pinterest also, ADG Lighting.
Correct.
You're also on Instagram, which is ADG_lights.
Yes.
With an S.
Lots of good selfies on Instagram too.
Yeah, no, we're going to check it out. And your website is simply adglighting.com. People can shoot you guys an email if they have some questions at info@adgmail.com. And sure. Your phone number to your office out here in Agora Hills is 818-597-9494. Did I get all that right?
You did. And even if you want to get a hold of us in Newport, where we have a presence, and in Austin, Texas, you can still dial the same number, and it's amazing. We will get you to any one of our people at any time.
Super. Well, as always, I love talking to you, and we need to circle back for a coffee pretty soon so we can start talking a little bit more about what we were talking about yesterday, about AI. You got me thinking about artificial intelligence now and how the world is going to control me. So we'll get to that maybe for another show or a coffee, and I really appreciate the time, Gerald.
Thank you so much. You got it. Cheers.
Have a good day.